So I'd like to begin our time together this morning with a few announcements. The first announcement is that I'm going to plan to leave the meeting open at the end of the meeting. So if people want to chat afterwards, they can. I'll probably try to leave it open till, I don't know, 11:15, 11:30, something like that. So if people need to talk to each other about anything, that's a good time to do it. I know the deacons have a few things they want to chat about before our meeting next week. Second announcement is that the deacons are going to have their monthly meeting next Sunday. I believe it's May 3rd, immediately following our worship service. So we'll give people a chance to chat, maybe grab another cup of coffee, and then we'll plan to start that meeting around 11:30, I think is the plan. The second announcement is that on Thursdays at 2 o'clock, we are partnering with Emsworth and St. Andrew's Presbyterian Churches for a Bible study. I am going to send out an email invitation for the Bible study probably Tuesday or Wednesday, so you all can have the link for it. It's about an hour study. Right now we're going through Philippians, and I talked with Pastor Carissa. We are going to plan to continue the Bible study as long as the stay-at-home order is in effect. So even if we finish up with Philippians, we will still have the Bible study going into May. I believe those are all of the announcements I have. Does anybody else have any announcements they want to make?
If you need to make an announcement, you need to unmute yourself.
Oh, yes, you need to unmute yourself if you're going to make an announcement. All right, I'm not hearing anything. So at this time, I'm going to turn it over to Mark for our prelude. All right, thank you, Mark. We are going to transition into the sharing of our joys and concerns. I'll share with you what I have, and then I invite you to either send me a message in the chat with a prayer request or unmute yourself and share your prayer request with the group. So this week I've gotten a lot of prayer requests for the families of people that have passed away. So for Larry, whose wife has passed away, for Bob Graham's family and friends, he passed away. Also for the Hunter family on the passing of John's son. John's son was 44 and he passed away from a heart attack. Also, But also prayers for people who are unemployed or underemployed right now. The longer that this stay-at-home order is in effect, the more that people are being furloughed and laid off. So just prayers for people who are really struggling with that right now. And as we typically do, we continue to pray for our healthcare workers, all of our essential workers, and all of our folks in local government who are trying to figure out how to keep us safe. All right, that is what I have. If anyone else has any prayer requests, now is the time to share them.
I have a couple prayers that, continued prayers that my back, they figure out what's going on with my back. I'm having severe spasms and don't really know why, to the point sometimes where I can't walk. Also, I need prayers for my sister, Patty. She had a total hip replacement a while ago, and for some reason, it's not healing completely. And there, but thank God there is a pinpoint area that opened up and let all of the fluids out. She's on antibiotics again, but we don't know why she's not healing. Also prayers for Sandy. She's feeling a little better, but not much. And she just needs prayers because she's going bananas because they're not even really allowed to leave their room. And literally staring at four walls is very difficult for all these people. And one more, I want to pray for not only the front end people and the people on the, you know, the people on the front lines, but nobody really prays for the janitors, the cooks, the people who, the laundry workers who still have to work. So I want to say a specific prayer for them also.
I would like to have prayers for AJ and Suzanne, who are still recuperating from coronavirus at home. Suzanne is still on oxygen and has a visiting nurse two or three times a week.
Has her, Sue, have you heard if her pneumonia is cleared up?
I don't know. Maybe Lois does. I don't want to bother them too much by way of phone.
Yes, we will continue to pray for her recovery. I was, the last I had heard, she had pneumonia on top of the COVID-19. So I was just wondering if they were able to get the pneumonia cleared up. But I can follow up with that later this week.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Okay, I have two joys. One is my granddaughter was four yesterday, so we had a kitty cat cake that she requested and cake and ice cream with everybody here, so that was our celebration, and people were mailing her presents, so that was kind of nice. And the other is that Roy had been in a lot of pain with his knees, and we reached out to the doctor, and he finally got some medicine, and he's been feeling much better, so his attitude, his sleep is a lot better now. So I just wanted to share that.
Oh, good. Wonderful. I'm hopeful that elective surgeries will be able to resume soon, because I know there are a lot of people in Roy's situation where they were supposed to have surgery sometime in the last 7 weeks, and now what was just annoying has become very painful. So I'm glad that you got good medicine for it.
I've got another praise report.
Sure.
Because they are going to do the closing on Monday, and my sister didn't have to go down to Pittsburgh to do all that craziness. Somebody went into the the courthouse for her and got that all cleared out, and they're going to do the closing on Monday, and he should come over and check her out, huh?
Yes, we will. Thank you for that update, Connie. One other thing I forgot to mention earlier when I mentioned the prayer requests is I have three funerals that I need to reschedule, and I'm just continuing to hold the families in prayer. It's really hard whenever you lose a loved one and then you don't have like a ritual for grief. It feels like the grief is just kind of ongoing. I am cautiously optimistic that we will be able to reschedule those funerals for June. And I'm hopeful that we're able to do that. Two of the funeral, at least two of the funerals I have are for folks that live out of state. So it's hot, like just physically getting here is challenging. So I'm hoping that by June, some of these stay-at-home orders will be lifted and we'll be able to do the funerals. All right. Any other prayer requests? Oh, I forgot one. Hold on. So my sister is supposed to graduate from Penn State, I believe May 14th, which is in 2 weeks. And she has her finals week next week. It'll be her last finals week ever. She's pretty lucky because she's been doing her classes online this whole time. So like nothing has really changed. But just prayers for her as she finishes up her last round of finals so that she can graduate. All right. With that, let us transition to our call to worship. We need your presence on the long road, Lord. And you can join me for the next sentence. The road between fear and hope, the road between the place where all is lost and the place of resurrection. Like the disciples walking the road to Emmaus, we are in need of your company. Jesus, stand among us in your risen power. Let this time of worship be a hallowed hour. At this time, I invite you to join us for our opening hymn. We are going to sing verses 1, 2, and 3 of O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. I'm going to mute myself and I'm going to invite Mickey to play. Friends, join with me now in our prayer of confession. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we can be changed, and grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Friends, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let us quiet our hearts and our minds for our choir's pre-recorded anthem. Join me in prayer. Almighty God, in Jesus Christ, you taught us to pray and to offer our petitions to you in his name. Guide us by your Holy Spirit, that our prayers for others may serve your will and show your steadfast love. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, let us pray for our concerns. Lord, we pray for your world. Lord, we pray for the peoples and communities whose lives have been forever altered by this coronavirus. We pray in particular for our brothers and sisters in New York, Los Angeles, Italy, and China, where the virus seems to be wreaking the most havoc. Lord, we pray that that the immediate threat of this virus would decrease, that these stay-at-home orders would be lifted soon, and that our lives would return to somewhat of a new normal. Lord, we continue to pray for your church. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for the creativity and energy and vision you have given your people during this unique time in our history. We pray that even though our ways of delivering the message may be imperfect, that people would continue to hear your good news during this trying time. Lord, we also pray for those who govern us. Lord, we pray in particular today for our governor and for our Secretary of Health. We pray that you would give them wisdom and you would give them discernment as they make decisions about when we can safely reopen. Lord, we pray that you would give us patience as we heed their guidance and follow their suggestions. Lord, today we also lift up to you our world leaders. The one thing this virus has taught us is that we are not an island, that how we behave and how we act directly influences others. We pray that our leaders would continue to cooperate with one another, would continue to share information with one another, and would continue to lead us through this crisis together. Lord, we also pray for the sick. Lord, we pray for those who have passed on in the previous week, for Larry's wife, for Bob Graham, for John. Lord, we continue to pray for the members in our congregation who aren't feeling well, for Kathy, for Sandy, for Suzanne Connors. Lord, we also pray for the men and women who have had to postpone funerals in our congregations. But Lord, in the midst of this trying time, there are joys. There are birthdays and anniversaries and celebrations. We give you thanks and praise for Janet and Roy's granddaughter who turned 4 this week. We give you thanks for my sister who is about ready to graduate. Give you thanks and praise that Roy's knee pain is subsiding, that Connie's sister's situation is resolving itself. Lord, we also give you thanks and praise for the gift of technology as it allows us to meet even when we are apart. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. God of compassion, we ask that you would bless us and bless those we love, our friends and our families, that drawing close to you, though we are apart, we may be drawn closer to each other. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Friends, it is now time for our offertory, and as we are listening to Mark play, I invite you to reflect on these two questions. For what are you hoping for during this season of Easter? And for what are you lamenting or for what are you sad about during this season of Easter? I'm going to mute myself and invite Mark to play. Thank you. invite Kathy to unmute yourself so she can read our scripture reading.
Okay, today's reading comes from Luke 24, verses 13 through 35. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "That things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish are you, and how slow to believe all of that prophets have spoken? Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all of the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
It's okay. Thanks, Kathy. All right, friends, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our scripture reading for this morning tells us of the importance of Christian community for the life of faith. Jesus appears to the disciples on the road to Emmaus and reminds them that they need him, but that they also need each other now that he is preparing to ascend to the Father. It can feel like a cruel joke that this story appears in the lectionary during what I'm calling pandemic Easter, where we are forced to stay apart from one another, but also where we are forced to rethink how we do Christian community. The road to Emmaus is a story of living in transition. For Jesus, this time marks the transition between his resurrection from the dead and his ascension into heaven. It is one of his final opportunities to be with his disciples and to teach them. for his disciples, it marks the transition from being Jesus's disciples to being Jesus's apostles, from learning from Jesus to sharing the good news of Jesus with others. The road to Emmaus teaches us that Easter faith holds space for both hope and lament. As we journey with Jesus's disciples, we learn of the interconnectedness of resurrection hope, but also of the lament that necessitates it. Today's reading tells us that on Easter, or Resurrection Day, two of the disciples left Jerusalem to travel to Emmaus. Luke never tells us why they're going to Emmaus, but it's safe to assume they're going because they're worried that they are going to be persecuted in Jerusalem. Jesus walked alongside them, but they don't recognize him. Jesus asked the disciples, "Hey, what are you guys talking about?" I can kind of picture in my head the disciples staring at him incredulously. "How can you not know what's happening?" they ask him. "Jesus' death is all anyone is talking about right now. Jesus has been killed and our whole world has been turned upside down." "Worse still," they tell Jesus, "we had hoped that Jesus was the one who was going to redeem Israel." We had hoped. I think this is the most important phrase in our scripture passage for today. It is an imperfect tense of the verb to hope. In English, we use the imperfect tense to describe an action that is unfinished. When the disciples say, "We had hoped," it means that that for which they had hoped hasn't yet happened, and that they do not expect that it will happen. Typically, when we talk about hope, we talk about it in what's called the future tense. We use the future tense to talk about something that hasn't yet happened, but that we believe will happen in the future. We hope to go to Florida for vacation this year. We hope that we will survive our cancer diagnosis. We hope that everything will return to normal soon. But friends, very often when it matters most, we find ourselves speaking of hope in the imperfect tense, as something that hasn't happened yet and may never happen still. As we gather in the midst of a global pandemic, all of us can think of ways we've seen or heard or even spoken of hope in the imperfect tense. We had hoped that we'd be able to gather together in public by now. We had hoped that our children would be able to return to school, and we had hoped that we'd be able to return to work. We had hoped we'd be able to get a haircut by now. As we navigate this unsettling moment in our history, we encounter Jesus, who teaches us how to speak of hope in the future tense again. All of the daily disappointments we face, from things as small as a haircut to bigger things like missing a graduation or a prom, to huge things like unemployment or sickness, all of these things make us question our hope. Just as the disciples face the disappointment of life without Jesus, to this disappointment, Jesus tells the disciples, "Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" What Jesus is saying here is that the road to hope is a road that must pass through lament. There's just no way around it. The only way out of lament is through it. Just as Jesus cannot ascend to the Father without first being betrayed by his friends and killed by the state, we cannot have hope for a future without this virus, without lamenting the damage it is doing to our world, our communities, our very bodies. One of the things I'm learning during this pandemic is that lament takes time. It doesn't happen all at once. Some days, it's easier to sit with the grief of that which was better than others. Sometimes our grief is going to come out sideways. This week, I was in the middle of a Zoom meeting where we were talking about preparing students for ordained ministry in this great unknown, when it occurred to me that it has been 6 weeks since I've seen my friends at the gym, and that it may be weeks or even months until I can see them in person again. I actually had to turn off my video for a second in the meeting because the grief of that moment felt like somebody was punching me in the gut. On those days where lament feels like someone is punching us in the gut, Jesus invites us to walk with him to Emmaus, where he reminds us that the only way out of lament is actually through community. While staying with the disciples, Jesus gathers them together for a meal. It is in this ordinary act of breaking bread that the disciples recognize him. Delighted, their faith restored, they are able to go out and tell others, "It is true, the Lord has risen, and he has appeared to Simon." Friends, in the midst of this uncertain season of life and ministry, I still believe that Christian community is an essential life-saving service. It absolutely looks different than it did before the virus shut down all of our face-to-face interactions. But I think being forced to be apart reminds us of how lucky we are to have each other. I see God at work in our midst every time the choir gathers together for a virtual check-in, every time we gather together for virtual worship. I also see it in the countless phone calls, text messages, and emails you've shared with me during our time apart. Even though the journey to Emmaus feels particularly long and difficult this year, I have faith that we will find renewed hope on the other side of it. I have this faith because every day I marvel at the creative ways you all are staying connected with one another during this time apart. I want you to know that I am with you in your lament. I'm holding space for all of the feelings that this virus is stirring up inside each and every one of us. And I'm looking forward to the day when we will be able to safely gather together again. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, I am going to mute myself, and I'm going to invite Mickey to unmute herself as we join together for our closing hymn, "Christ Be Beside Me."
Thank you.
Friends, let me say a word of blessing as we prepare to go from this place. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. God has a plan and God has a purpose to you being there. Christ, who dwells in you, has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen. I'm going to mute myself and invite Mark to play our prelude. Postalude. Thank you, Mark. All right, friends, this concludes our worship service for today. We will be back on Zoom next Sunday, same time, same link, probably the same place for most of us. If you need to go, you are free to go now, but I'm going to leave the meeting open for a bit in case people want to chat with each other. Go in peace, friends.